Hello, it's Tuesday, August 15th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Today we have the managing editor of the American Free Press, Mr. Christopher Petherick, and not only is he one of the hardest working guys around, but also one of the nicest. And what we want to talk about today is the upcoming Labor Day conference being held down in Washington, D.C.
We're very excited about this.
Exactly. It's being hosted by not only the American Free Press, but also the Barnes Review. And before we bring Christopher on, we had the privilege of meeting him in the fall of 2002. We were down at a rally in D.C., and we managed to get over to the American Free Press offices.
We got to meet Jim Tucker and Michael Collins Piper, and it was a great experience for us.
And also Christopher Petherick, and when we went into his office, we saw the phones ringing all over the place, stacks of paper on his desk.
Yeah, their office looks like ours.
And this frantic look of trying to get everything done. So with not only putting out a weekly newspaper, but also with the upcoming conference, we don't envy Mr. Petherick at all, so we'd like to welcome Christopher Petherick to Wing TV. How are you doing, Christopher?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Oh, real good. So you have lots of free time now until Labor Day, right?
Yes, copious amounts of free time until Labor Day, sure. We also, in addition to that, you know, we self-publish books, and we're in the process of expanding beyond that, too, to do many different things. And then we also have a very popular website on top of that, AmericanFreePress.net. So I guess you could say our plates are full.
Exactly.
People can subscribe to the newspaper through your website, right?
That is correct, yeah, AmericanFreePress.net. People can go there and they can subscribe directly to it, or they can call our 800 number, and actually it's 888-699-NEWS, that's 6397, if they want to subscribe. And that's open from about 7 o'clock in the morning through about 9 o'clock at night.
Wow. Great. And also I'd like to thank you, Christopher, for the book review by John Tiffany on our latest book, 9/11 Evil. It's in the most recent edition, and John did a great job on it. I'm going to have to give a call down there and let him know that we're very appreciative.
Great. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. You know, it's really on all of us that, however you want to call it, you know, we tend to shy away from labels, but if you want to talk about the alternative to mainstream, I mean, the fact is that we've got plenty of people that we can go after, but we really all need to sort of get together and help each other out and try to just get the information out there and let the American public be the decider as to, you know, what they believe and with the information that's available to them.
And as we always say, the American Free Press is the best newspaper in the country. So
absolutely.
Let's talk about this free speech conference in D.C. being hosted by the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. Give everybody the particulars, times, dates, where it's at, on and on.
Sure. Well, it's actually, there's about 12 groups that are involved in sponsoring it. And American Free Press is spearheading it, and we're the ones who are doing most of the organization of it. But we have the Foundation to Defend the First Amendment. We have the Free Enterprise Society, Freedom Law School, Life and Liberty Publishing. There's the National Institute for Christian Solidarity. Barnes Review is obviously up there too. And then there's another of organizations that you know we've sort of developed and fostered that are involved in that. And then of course there's First Amendment Books, which is really our division that is doing the self-publishing. And they're the ones that most usually fulfill orders. For example, when you call in here and you want to order one of Michael Collins Piper's books or one of James P. Tucker's books, it would be through First Amendment Books that you would be handling that, and they're also involved in helping us organize that. The event itself is going to be over the Labor Day weekend, that's September 1 through September 3. September 1, we're going to have a few speakers on in the evening. The bulk of the conference is going to be on the Saturday and the Sunday, beginning early Saturday around 8 o'clock and running all the way through into the evening for a, there's going to be a First Amendment banquet that's sponsored by the Foundation to Defend the First Amendment, which will be giving out awards for journalism, broadcasting, use of technology, several other awards. Joe Sobrin is going to be speaking at that event in the evening, and then on Sunday that's going to be more of the historical issues, everything from World War II to the USS Liberty to I'm going down the list of of topics that are going to be addressed, but it's going to be rather extensive, and then the whole thing's going to wind down on Sunday evening at about 5 o'clock. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. However, we're not going to give out the exact location until next week in the hopes that, you know, if anybody wants to come in and cause any trouble, at least that'll give them a little bit to where they won't have as much time anyways to be able to orchestrate something.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
So that's the main reason. In the past, we've had some problems with, you know, with just people who want to come in and troublemakers want to come in and cause problems. And you're always going to have the people who, you know, who smear you and call you names. And, I mean, we all have...
You're telling us.
Yeah. You develop, you know, one thing in this business, I mean, you develop thick skin pretty quickly. And so, you know, we all have thick skin. And there's going to be people who, you know, misunderstand what our intentions are and what the purpose of this is, want to attribute all kinds of... malice and you know and the reasons why we do these things, but that's fine, you know. I mean, it's, you live with that stuff. But then there's the other people who want to come in and disrupt and cause trouble, and so we're trying to avoid some of that.
Yeah, now Christopher, we've already received quite a number of emails from people that said, you know, we hope to see you there in D.C. So it sounds like there's already quite a bit of interest for this. And if people did want to go, could they just go to AmericanFreePress.net?
You would actually have to subscribe to AFP or TBR, and that's one of the preconditions we put on it. And again, that is the main reason, is that you know, we want sincerity, and we want people there who are genuinely interested in the issues and interested. And we don't think that, you know, it's too much to ask for people to be supportive of the publications that are the main driving force behind this event, to get out and to support them. And so so that's the only thing that we ask. Now, if you want to go ahead and sign up and become a subscriber and then attend our conference, you are absolutely more than welcome to. But that is our only stipulation.
All right, very good. Well, let's go down this list. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever seen this many names.
Well, really impressive.
We send out a whole host of invitations, and perhaps it might be better if I start going down a list of the confirmations that we do have, and to give you an idea of some of the panels that we'll be having over the course of the weekend. Because we sent out invitations, I mean, we sent out an invitation to Iran, to the president of Iran, to Ahmadinejad, that he could get his point across, his opinion across. Now, we do have information that his office has received it, and that we're hoping that we'll get a conference or a letter back or something in that regard.
Well, let me ask you, Christopher.
In fact, I have a contact over at the UN mission in New York City that I need to contact. And I was given that by a filmmaker who came in here and did some extensive interviews with us. That was you'll see him on the list. That's Nader Talabzadeh, who is very well known in Iran as a filmmaker and a commentator. He's here in the United States right now trying to do a documentary and sort of provide the other side for an Iranian audience, that basically that shows that we're not all, you know, these warmongering, saber-rattling fools here in Washington,
Chris,
trying to start wars all around the world.
Chris, let me ask you this real quick.
Sure.
Did you catch that Mike Wallace Ahmadinejad interview the other night? And do you think he's a Zionist tool, or you think this guy's for real?
You mean the president of Iran?
Yes.
Well, I caught the tail end of the interview. He's a politician. I think he's sort of a firebrand, and he's out front. There are a number of people, you know, behind him, and other people who are working with him. I don't know. You know, I can't get inside the guy's head, and I don't know what his intentions are. Is he being provocative for the sake of being provocative? Is he playing into the hands of these neocons and the Israeli supporters by doing this? No, I don't think so. Unfortunately, I don't read or write the Farsi, so I don't know what he said. I'm taking the translations for what they are.
Uh-huh.
I can say that we've read, you know, plenty of primary source material that indicates that that he does make some points, and I think he's representative of the anger in the Middle East that's directed toward the West and directed toward Israel.
Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, who else is going to be there?
Well, we've got to continue on this panel this Mideast panel we put together. We have Mark Glenn, who hosts and forgive me if I get this wrong, but he hosts the website Cross and the Crescent. He's a Palestinian. Let me just double check that real quick.
Yes,
he's a Palestinian writer who lives in Idaho right now, and he's written that book No Beauty, and the Beast.
Correct.
He also wrote the introduction to, I believe he wrote the introduction to Dirty Secrets, correct? Michael Collins Piper's book?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
He did. Okay, good. Okay, I didn't want to, we have so much coming through the door here sometimes that things get turned around.
Yeah, but, I just talked to him.
Anyways, I believe he's written the introduction to that, and he's very well known on the internet for his candid views. He's actually, he's Lebanese. He's not
right.
Palestinian, and I apologize. We have Hesham Talawi, who is Palestinian. He is a, I believe he lives in Texas, I think.
He
hosts a radio show and writes himself. And then we also have Rabbi David Yisrael Weiss from Netarite Carta will be also on that panel. And they will be discussing essentially Middle East and the crosshairs is what they'll be providing an alternative view to what you read in the mainstream. Again, we're getting back to the whole issue of Iran and the issue of the push to further the war to include Syria and to include Iran in. And I think it's reasonable when you look at the map and you see, you know, we're currently occupying Afghanistan and we're occupying Iraq. And with what's now has happened, and although it's been some interesting turn of events in southern Lebanon now, ultimately we'll see what happens. But there is, you know, the editorials amongst these neocons, Bill Kristol and these folks, it's certainly reasonable to think that they've got the pressure on for the U.S. to expand its war throughout the Middle East. And this will be the major discussion there. Mark Glenn will also be speaking in addition to that. Beyond that, oh good Lord, we figure we probably have about 30 speakers all totaled over the course of the 2 days, and so it's going to be packed tight. We've unfortunately, originally we were just planning on having registration on Friday night and sort of a little wine and cheese meet and greet where we get to just meet with the readers of the issue, and many of the speakers will be there too, so you can just walk up to, you know, Dr. Doug Rocky, for example, who's speaking on Saturday morning, who's probably one of the leading authorities on depleted uranium in the United States. In fact, he headed up the U.S. Army's depleted uranium project. He wrote the program that could have protected U.S. soldiers against depleted uranium, and then the military did absolutely nothing with it. In fact, even worse, they shelved it, and they knew, despite his findings, that this stuff is very dangerous and will kill people. They shelved it. So he's going to be speaking, and readers can walk up to this gentleman and ask him any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Read an article about depleted uranium. I mean, he's one of the guys, he and Marion Fulford, the two guys in the country, to ask about this. So we have Dr. Doug Rocky there. Following that, we also have a 911 panel, which Ellen Mariani will be there.
Excellent.
She'll be talking about her ongoing lawsuits against the U.S. government. I just got off the phone with her a little while ago, and she was updating me on some new information. Unfortunately, we can't disclose that information right now because there's some she's in the midst of these lawsuits, and which are going well for her. And so, and she's fighting, and she's a fighter, and she's not going to let this go by. And she's, I mean, for you think of this, she was at one time just a happy housewife who kissed her husband goodbye, and he got on a plane, and that was the end of it.
I've spoken
to her.
She's
filed a lawsuit against the airlines and against the U.S. government, and she's really gone far to getting information out there, and she's been a wonderful source for Christopher Bullitt, who I think many of your listeners are well aware of what Christopher's done as far as the on the 911 issue.
Yeah, he's at the forefront.
Ellen Mariani's a very strong lady. I give her a lot of credit.
Yeah, we spoke to her a couple months ago, and she's still filled with as much fire as she ever was. So.
Absolutely, and she's not going to let this go, and she's not letting the lawyers get away with it, because that's part of it. I mean, this is it's a case study into conspiracy and how facts and events are manipulated. It's also a look at our judicial system and at the corruption in our judicial system and the backroom dealing that goes on between lawyers and this brotherhood and the bar association that exists. And I mean, they did horrible things to her, and she's going to talk about all of this. And so people can go up to her and can ask her specific questions. We also are. Let me go down this list.
How about Tex Mars? I know he's going to be there.
I'm sorry?
Tex Mars.
Tex Mars is going to be there. He's going to be talking about the bloody history of Zionism, and he'll be there with some of his books. And he's well known to a number of our readers, and he's for his for his outspoken views. People appreciate what he has to say. He'll be speaking on Sunday afternoon, and that's more of a historical aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
He'll be looking at that. We also have Lindsay Williams coming, which I don't know whether your listeners know.
Yeah, we've interviewed him.
Who he is. He's the author of that Energy Vietnam crisis.
Right.
And certainly his, you know, he wrote this book back in, good Lord, I think it was the late 70s, the 70s, when he wrote this book, Energy Non-Crisis. And it's about Prudhoe Bay and about his work as a missionary that he did amongst the people who were building the pipeline and what they disclosed to him when he was doing that. I mean, it's all relevant today. So he's going to be talking about the oil crisis or the oil non-crisis,
Chris,
he believes.
Who's going to be speaking about the USS Liberty? Any Liberty surviving crewmen?
Tito Howard is going to be talking about that. He's
Great.
Got some new information, which we'll eventually get to that, but I'm not going to, you know, obviously steal his thunder and reveal what he has to offer during his speech, but he's going to be talking about some new findings that he has, and it's interesting. He was just talking about how a number of these admirals are passing away, and right before they're passing away, they're divulging all the information and everything that they know. They made an oath that they wouldn't give out this information while they're alive. Well, now there's all this information that's coming out, and it's pretty damning for the Israelis and for the Johnson administration.
Yes, it is.
Now, how about Matthias Chang?
Chang, unfortunately, I got an email back from him. There's a lot going on in Malaysia right now. He has specifically done a multimedia presentation for us, which we will be reviewing, that he's put together. Michael Collins Piper is going to be giving the introduction to that.
Very good.
That is he's going to be talking about Malaysia and about the influence of the West in Malaysia and Indonesia. These are key parts of the world. He's going to be talking about that in this presentation that he's put together. Unfortunately, we can't have him here, but I certainly understand with the work that he's done, and specifically with this Perdana Peace Conference and the push for holding these warmongers accounts for trying to, create a whole other world war. I mean, that's essentially what their goal is.
And, you know, his book, Future Fast Forward, I would have to say is the sleeper hit of the year. It's really taken off, hasn't it?
It's done very well, and he has a second book, actually, which we will be putting out in the coming months that he wants us to publish here in the United States. And the second book is in line. I've seen the manuscript floating around here. I actually haven't had the opportunity to sit down and to read through it, but I think if it's anything like his past book that he's done, this one is going to be just as candid and just as provocative and just as informative.
Chris, do you expect there to be any mainstream media coverage?
Well, at one time, we had tried to get C-SPAN to cover it. I doubt it.
Yeah.
There's going to be what's going to happen, and it's the same thing that happened before. I understand that there were someone from the Southern Poverty Law Center attended who are subscribers, and they're probably listening to your radio show right now, really, and they're subscribers, and we haven't actually an idea of who it may be that's on our list that's already registered, already paid for the registration. They're subscribers right now, and they've already reserved rooms in the hotel. And so we have an idea of who they may very well be. They're probably going to be a representative from the Southern Poverty Law Center and a representative from the Anti-Defamation League are going to be present at the conference. And, of course, they'll be, you know, spinning it after the whole conference is over. They'll be, giving out press releases or contacting their shills in the media, and there'll be probably some articles written on it and talking about, you know, this another one of these gatherings of all of these hate mongers and all this ridiculous.
Right.
It's just crazy when you read their accounts after the fact. And,
you know, since we mentioned the mainstream media, in your most recent edition of the American Free Press, this is the August 21st edition, you have this very interesting article by Jim Tucker called Globalists Shun Murdoch, so he holds his own mini Bilderberg meeting. Tell us a little bit about this. It was out in Pebble Beach, California, I believe.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, Jim put that article together from some information that he had gotten on there. It's rather interesting that's what these guys do. I mean, it is ironic that you have somebody like Murdoch who's playing both sides at this point. He's courting Hillary and he's courting McCain at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess he's playing. I mean, quite honestly, there's really virtually no difference between those two.
Yeah,
so,
Chris, did you hear that the JDL had some little protest outside of CBS the other day? They characterized Ahmadinejad as a terrorist. Yet, What's ironic is the FBI calls the JDL a right-wing terrorist
organization. Sure, yeah, that is. Actually, some years ago, we had gotten some threatening emails from the JDL, and we forwarded them on to the FBI and contacted the provider, and they are absolutely considered a violent terrorist group here in the United States. And it's trying to intimidate critics. And critics of Israel, and that's really what it's come down to.
Yeah. Now, there was an article that we posted yesterday on the Wing TV homepage about a nun that I guess is dying, but she wants an autopsy to be done on her body. She was up at Ground Zero right after 9/11, and she said that she wants an autopsy done to prove how much contamination was there. And I know the American Free Press, and you specifically, have given quite a bit of coverage to this. So tell everybody how dangerous it really was there in the days after 9/11, right at Ground Zero.
Well, yeah, Christopher is really the best one to cover these issues because he's really been at the forefront for us. But undoubtedly, you know, we've had, there's another guy, Jeffrey Smith up in New York who does work for us, and he was around in that area, and absolutely it was terrible. And it seems to me that that there are a number of lawsuits being filed over where they just wanted the EPA and the Bush administration wanted people to come back in and just go to work and to forget all of that. And so, and I wouldn't doubt it. Now the question is what exactly are we talking about as far as contamination? I don't know. I know that some people have made some claims, for example, around here at the Pentagon too. Some people have made some claims about radioactivity or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Loren Murray, who's worked with depleted uranium people, was making some claims about that. I don't know, but it seems to me that this is something that is grave concern to people and to those people who are living in that area.
You have run some articles in American Free Press in the past about the media being the enemy, and yet we see lately more and more people exposing 9/11 truth appearing on mainstream media networks. Can we now trust the mainstream media, or are they still the enemy?
Well, that's a good question. I think we need to use them for you know, whatever we can, but I think we obviously have to be suspicious of their motives and their intentions. I mean, they have an eye on the bottom line, and there's a pack mentality, and they are not going to. I mean, you look at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and I mean, obviously they've chosen sides. I think it is ironic when you look at this the issue of the bombings in Lebanon is that many of the mainstream media's people were living in Beirut at the time, so they got a view of that firsthand of living underneath the bomb. So I think that it's difficult to they've had a tough time being able to hide the extent of the war crimes that are going on in that area. Now as far as the issue of 911. I mean, I saw a poll recently that said that I think 39% of New Yorkers believe that there was some conspiracy involved, that either the Bush administration knew about it and didn't refuse to act.
I think this was nationwide,
something along those lines. So I think the mainstream media is really, we'll never get the credit for the work that we've done. I mean, Victor, for the work that you've done, Lisa, the same thing. But the fact is that really we are the ones who deserve the credit for risking our necks and putting ourselves out there and trying to get all this stuff. And the mainstream media it's safe for them looking at polls. I don't know, when they figure that maybe they can sort of dabble in this a little bit. I don't know, but I can just tell you that from having interviewed William Rodriguez multiple times, I know that for years there was an active. It was transparent and obvious how the mainstream was cutting out anything that did not go directly with what the official theory was.
Right, that's why I'm concerned that they're going to use these appearances by 9/11 truthers to sort of spin the whole thing to serve their agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, sure, that's reasonable to think that, and I mean it's ultimately they filter and control the message when they go out to millions and millions of Americans.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, the only thing we can hope for is that there's a blurb here, a blurb there, and that's about it. But quite frankly, the media in the United States, the mainstream, they're in trouble, and
they're in
trouble mainly because from maybe I'm young and I'm optimistic about this, but I see that you know, many Americans are highly suspicious of the mainstream media and see them as, you know, as not providing them with all of the information
and
you know, being biased and you know, hiding the truth from them.
And yeah, and so, you're right on the mark there for sure.
Yeah, and I think again that the credit is with us for advancing, utilizing technology and advancing a message.
Well, let's go halfway around the world to the Mideast. We know there is this very tenuous ceasefire right now between Israel and Hezbollah. How long is it going to last, and what do you see in the upcoming weeks?
Well, that's anybody's guess. Who knows? I mean, it could be, you know, I mean, it could be anything from
10 minutes.
Anything to set it off. I don't know. You know, having just read, you know, I read the Israeli press as much as everybody does, and it seems to, you know, as probably as much as you guys do, and that's where you get a lot of the information, you know, from, and besides just some of the other sources that we've you know, developed over the years, but. You know, I mean, the Israeli army was pretty much, you know, took a beating in southern Lebanon, and I'll be surprised if there aren't some serious political ramifications in the coming weeks with the current Israel with Olmert and this chief of Holwitz or whatever his name is, the chief of I think it's the chief of staff there, I believe. I'm not exactly sure the name, but I wouldn't be surprised those two. That the bombing campaign that they initiated, this war that they've been champing at the bit for the past year to go into southern Lebanon, it was really embarrassing for them.
Yeah, it didn't quite turn out the way they expected.
Exactly, and you know, and I mean, I can. There's been plenty of speculation as the ultimate intentions for this. I mean, it seems very apparent that the Bush administration was given a heads up that this was going to happen and did nothing to try to stop. The slaughter that went on in that region, and I think it's created more animosity toward the West, and Americans need to realize that it is these very actions that are, you know, that are making people in the Middle East despise the United States and despise Israel.
Right, and Olmert even said that he makes no apology. He takes full responsibility for this offensive against Hezbollah, and he doesn't. They don't need to ask anyone's permission if they decide they are going to strike in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, absolutely. But you know, I guess the point I was trying to make originally was that. There's been quite a bit of speculation as to this is part of a larger plan to, you know, on the road to Syria and to Iran. Yeah. I mean, Hezbollah was one of those groups that stood in the way, and I think this has been very damaging. And I don't know whether, you know, you've had Iraq obviously is a serious problem for the United States, and now Hezbollah has been a serious problem for Israel. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with Syria and Iran. However, at this point, you know, the Bush administration and George Bush himself has sort of been backed into a corner, because what does he do at this point? I mean, you have the only thing that he can now try to save face is to actually go into Iran. And, you know, God forbid if something like that happens.
Yeah.
I, you know,
well, especially considering.
I think the outcome of that would be terrible for the United States.
Especially considering how we thought that Iraq would just roll over, and Iraq hasn't rolled over. And I know the American Free Press has covered this war very closely. I think you pointed out that we're spending close to $8 billion a month over there in this god-awful war. So at what point, I mean, like, I know we're not going to just pull out, but what does the future hold for this? It just seems more disastrous every day.
Well, that's a good point. You know, Washington, I think, had, you know, and I don't know. I don't presume to get in the heads of these people. The only thing you can look at is what they're writing and what they're saying. And it seems apparent to me that, you know, much of what, you know, Michael Collins Piper's written about these the intentions of these people and their views, and that they're wanting to rework the Middle East and you know, occupy the entire Middle East. It seems obvious that that's what their original goal was to, and they decided they wanted to do that, and then they figured out a way in order to do it, and so, you know, that's these you know, these lies over weapons and these lies over democracy and all of this, it's all beginning to unravel and fall apart, and I think that they're in serious trouble over this. Now the question is, how long do we stay, and what do we do? Well, I don't I you know, I personally don't believe that these people in Washington could care, that they care about average soldiers that
right.
are over there and what they're facing day in and day out. I think that they consider they have occupied, you know, it's abundantly clear that we're building permanent bases there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars maintaining what they call the green zone in the middle of Baghdad for the intention of occupying that. They're occupying many of the former government buildings there that I don't think that they're going to give up this foothold anytime soon. I just don't. And I don't think that these American troops are going to be coming home anytime soon.
You're right.
Right.
Well, Christopher, I want to thank you for coming on. I know how busy you are. Everybody out there, AmericanFreePress.net. Every week you can read writers like Jim Tucker, Michael Collins, Piper, John Tiffany, Christopher Petrick's editorials
right.
every week.
Everybody subscribe and sign up for this conference coming up on Labor Day weekend.
Right. This is the kind of media we need to support, AmericanFreePress.net. I know we eagerly await it every Monday or Tuesday in our mailbox. And September 1, 2, and 3, Washington, D.C., go to AmericanFreePress.net for more information. Any final words, Christopher?
Well, I just want to say, let's not forget, too, that, you know, Victor, you and Lisa both will be at our conference.
Yes, we will.
And we're very appreciative of that, and we're appreciative of the work that you guys have done.
Well, we're honored.
Certainly the help, and we're all in this together. So
yeah.
Well,
it's good to
are.
Have people like you guys around.
Yeah, but we're going to keep the word out here until September 1st, so we can't wait to see all you guys again, and just keep up the good work, okay?
All right, well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Victor.
All right,
thank
we'll
you,
talk
Chris.
Soon. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.